Welcome to the Ocean Hills Podcast. Our hope is that today's message would help you connect more deeply with God and with others. If you would like more information on what is happening in the Ocean Hills community, check out our website at oceanhills.org or download the Ocean Hills app. If you are encouraged by our ministry and would like to partner with us financially, you can give through your mobile device by texting Ocean Hills to 77977. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, I'll never forget leaving the shore and heading out into the Pacific Ocean. It was a surreal moment. Behind me, the mountains of Vancouver. Ahead of me, nothing but deep, blue, open waters. It was a memorable moment that has just burned into my brain. And it was 30 years ago in the fall of 95, I got to go on a broad program called Semester at Sea, and I had to leave behind my school, my comforts, my friends, a young woman by the name of Erin who I was starting to fall in love with. And I went out into the middle of the ocean and spent 100 days on a boat with some of my high school guys, and it was just a moment of leaving that was hard, that was scary, that was freeing, and it has stuck in my mind because it's a moment where when you leave something good even, there's something on the other side of leaving. That God does. There's something ahead of us when we leave. Leaving is hard, but it's almost always the way to growth. When we leave behind things. And moments of leaving are so powerful, aren't they? There's moments in your life, I know that you can think of, where you had to leave things. I remember leaving my single life behind when I got married, leaving our wedding, and feeling like, wow, this is different now. It's two of us, not just me. I remember my parents dropping me off at the airport and leaving me to go to school in Chicago when I lived in California. And there was a leaving there that was exciting and scary. And I knew good things were on the other side of that. There was a moment leaving leaving the hospital when we came home with Nathan for the first time 20 years ago, and as a family, growing family, and leaving our double income, no kids life behind. It's hard. It's hard to leave, but it's many times the way of growth. And, you know, from the very beginning, I was thinking about life. Life is a series of leaving comforts and leaving our comfort zones so that we can experience what God has for us. Even from the very first moment of our life, we have to leave the comfort of the womb and be brought into this bright, noisy place called the world. And when we get to the end of life, we have to leave our very bodies, our breath, from womb to tomb. And even every day, you know, my cat woke me up at 5:30 this morning, and I did not want to leave the comfort of my bed. Do you ever just sit in your bed? You're like, no, I just want to stay here. And I had to get out and put my feet on the floor and experience what today has for me to experience. It's every day. We have to get out. We have to leave our comforts. And so here's, you know, the mystery is that in every leaving, God invites us deeper. He doesn't just ask us to let go for the sake of letting go. He asks us to trust him, to make space, to empty ourselves so that we can be filled with more of him. And you know, it's not just the story of our lives. It's also the story of the gospel. Jesus left heaven, left power, left his Father in heaven, safety, and he laid it all down, even his very life. And he shows us that resurrection is what follows surrender. Resurrection follows a leaving. And so we're in a series on Peter, if you didn't know, called Rockstar. Peter, called the Rock in the Scriptures. And there's a lot of stories about him. And today, the story that we're going to read is where he's recalling, in some ways, the moment he left everything to follow Jesus. So if you want to turn to your Bibles, Mark 10, 23, we're going to be at today, and 23 to 31. Let me just set up this passage before I read it. Jesus, we're in early on in his ministry, and there are some children that come up, and they are starting to, people want Jesus to put his hands on the children to bless them, and the disciples are like, we don't have time for children. And Jesus says, no, we do. This is actually what the kingdom of God's about, these kids, these curious, wonder-filled, trusting children. This is who the kingdom's for. And then, right after that, a rich young ruler, you probably know this story, he comes up to Jesus and he falls at Jesus' feet, obviously desperate for something else. He's a wealthy man. He looks curious, and he's an up-and-coming leader, and he comes and he falls at Jesus' feet and says, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to do? What more do I have to do? And you'd probably know the story. Jesus says, well, follow the commands. And he says, I've done all that. What else do I have to do? And it reminds me of one of my favorite actors from the 90s, Jim Carrey. You ever know that guy, Jim Carrey? He said this, I wish everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they ever dreamed of so they know it's not the answer. This is the rich young ruler. He has everything he ever dreamed of, but he knows it's not the answer. And so he comes to Jesus, and Jesus knew he had a lot of stuff, but he also knew that his stuff owned him. He didn't own his stuff. And isn't that the irony? The more stuff we accumulate in our lives, we don't own it anymore. It starts to own us. And Jesus knew that, and he asked him, you need to leave all that stuff if you want to come follow me. And he couldn't do it. So he left sad. And the disciples, meanwhile, are watching. And so he turns to them, and this is what he says. Jesus looked around, and he said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed, and they said to each other, well, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them. He said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up. We've left everything. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. The way of the kingdom. This is what Jesus is, his main message is about the kingdom of God when he comes, right? And we have here John Mark, the author of Mark, one of the companions of Peter, wrote down these words as Peter helped him explain, Peter explained what he had gone through with Jesus. And so we see that the perspective a little bit of Peter in the book of Mark. And Jesus is talking about what is my kingdom look like? It's a kingdom of peace and joy and freedom and right living with God and others and myself and the world. It's where abundant life is found. This is what Jesus is preaching all along. And here he starts to explain to his disciples again what the kingdom looks like. there's a surprise of the kingdom. I'm just going to talk about three things. A surprise of the kingdom, there's the way of the kingdom, and there's the reward of the kingdom. And so we see first the surprise. Jesus looked around at his disciples. He said, how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples are amazed. And then he says, well, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, if you were a first century person, you would know this idiom. It's kind of like when we say, you know, when pigs fly, that'll happen. And when will pigs fly? Anyone? Never. Never. No amount of genetic engineering is going to help pigs fly. They will never fly. And so the same here, a camel will never fit through the eye of a needle. Literally, it's impossible. This should give us pause when Jesus says this, don't you think? I mean, Jesus was talking to first century people, and everyone he ever talked to was way poorer than we are in this room. We are richer than anyone Jesus would have ever talked to. It's harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's one of those verses that you're kind of like, is that really in the Bible? Why is that in there? Why? This was a huge surprise to the disciples, too. Did you notice? They were amazed. They were astounded. They're doubly amazed, Mark says. You know, in the first century, and even today, I would say in our culture, wealth is seen as a sign of God's blessing. It's a sign that God is blessing you, that you are blessed. And so the disciples are seeing this guy, and if he can't get in, what chance do we have? This is crazy. Why? They're amazed. They're astounded by this. Why? Why is it hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven? Wealth breeds self-sufficiency. We think we can provide everything we need. It competes with our heart, Jesus says. He says we can't serve God and money. It creates pride, and it blinds us to our spiritual hunger. Listen to this verse out of Revelations 3:17. You say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Ouch. It's a hard verse. Ouch. Jesus shows us the blessings can become a barrier to experiencing life with him. Life in the kingdom. That was the barrier to this rich young ruler. Material wealth. It makes us feel like we've got it together. I love Lori. She just said, turn to the person next to you last week. And she said, just tell them, hey, I don't have it all together. Just do that again one time today. Turn to the person next to you. Say, hey, I don't have it all together. This is the reminder. And so Jesus, he's reminding his disciples, he's maybe telling them for the first time, like, there is nothing you can do to enter the kingdom of heaven. Experiencing the kingdom is not about what you do. It's not about what you do. We can only enter it humbly, receiving the gift of grace that God offers us. Say, only God can do it. You can do it. A little bit better than that. Come on. Only God can do it. That's right. It's impossible. It's impossible, Chaz. It's impossible. Jesus is not like all the other rabbis and other religions who are caught up in what you do and how you pray and how you do Sabbath and how you do all these religious things. The kingdom of God is only entered by those who are willing to let go of pride and control and security, and possessions, and trust God. This is the way of the kingdom. It's the way, letting go, leaving. It's the way that God designed our life. And so Peter gives us just this amazing, blurred out, unfiltered human response, right? Peter says, "We've left everything, Jesus. We've left it all." He speaks up. What a statement. I've been just meditating on that statement. We've left everything to follow you, Jesus. Wow. Have I? Is this the calling of followers of Jesus? To leave everything? What does that even mean? You know, I think it's really interesting that the Greek word for everything here, it means everything. All things. It's no mystery. It's everything. This is the cost of discipleship. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer coined that phrase, the cost of following Jesus. It's leaving everything. It's the way. He said this, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Come and die. Jesus himself, he said this, if anyone wants to follow me, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. Following Jesus is a journey of leaving things behind, a journey of sacrifice. That's what it is. So I got to ask myself, what is hindering me from experiencing the kingdom? What is in my life? What am I holding on to that is a barrier of me hearing God's voice and trusting him and living in the kingdom of God, a kingdom of peace and freedom, a kingdom that's light and free? What is it? I mean, our obsession with things and experience and comforts, obviously, is one of the things that in this world we get distracted by and we hold on to, and we call it materialism. It's all of us struggle with materialism. It's something we need to leave behind. But there's some other isms. I think there's some other things we need to leave behind. So here's just maybe 10 things I want to blast through. You can see, do any of these connect with your spirit? Legalism, one. Depending on rules rather than grace. Perfectionism, striving for flawlessness, often leading to shame or paralysis in faith. Individualism, placing myself above community or God's design for mutual dependence. Consumerism, treating church or faith as something to be consumed rather than participated in. How about egoism? Being driven by self-interest, by pride, rather than humility and service. Or judgmentalism. Nobody struggles with that here. Adopting a critical spirit that elevates oneself while condemning others. Or relativism, denying absolute truth, undermining the authority of the truth of Jesus. Or even pessimism, living in defeat or doubt rather than walking in resurrection hope. Or activism, prioritizing action or causes, making my faith about performance. Or cynicism, distrusting people or the church and hardening my heart toward God. Any of those connect with you? If nothing on that list connects with you, you might want to check your pulse. Make sure you're alive. But just in case, here's a few more things that I thought that I'm working on and continually work on leaving behind. My desire to control situations and others, my need for approval and my reputation. How about curating a way people see me or how I see others? Well, Paul says we don't see other people from a worldly perspective anymore. We got to leave that behind and see them from a heavenly perspective. How about addictions or habits or doom scrolling or toxic relationships or even nationalism or allegiance to a political party over my allegiance to Christ? What do you need to leave behind to follow Jesus more closely, to trust him more? Matthew 11:28, one of my favorite verses, is just Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and and take my yoke upon you. It's light, it's easy. I will give you rest. This is what Jesus wants for us. He wants for Peter is this light, easy, purpose-filled kingdom life. And the journey, our journey in following him is trying to figure out what is that that's hindering me from hearing his voice? What's hindering me from knowing him, from trusting him, from experiencing him more? I think of Peter leaving his nets behind. You know, there's that verse that Peter and his brother, they left their nets and their boats and their dad in the boat and said, we're going to follow this guy. I got to think when he says this, Jesus, we've left everything. He's thinking back a little bit on that moment. We left it all. We just left it there. And those nets, I don't know if this is a metaphor that Jesus meant or that Peter meant, but I got to imagine that there was some relief when Peter left the stinky nets, those tangled up mess of a net that he had to every day tend and repair and work with. There had to be some relief in, I would rather do something else. This is hard work. And Jesus says, come, follow me. And they leave their nets. And I just wonder, is there something you feel tangled up in that you just feel like is stinking in your life, is tangling you up, is hindering you from experiencing all that Jesus wants you to experience? It reminds me of that Hebrews passage we talked about in the winter, our Letting Go series, where it says, where Hebrews, the author, says, let's throw off everything that hinders us. This is the call of the disciple. Throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. Where are you tangled up? Let me get back to the passage here. You know, I'd never picked up on this before, but Peter, I went to the Gospel of Matthew that is not written from the perspective of Peter, but the perspective of Matthew, the tax collector. And Matthew adds on a little statement that is not included in this gospel, which is kind of interesting. And it says this. It says, we've left everything to follow you. What's in it for us? That's interesting. Peter didn't include that in his gospel, right? But what will we get? Isn't that just so human? Don't we want to know, like, I'm gonna leave this, Jesus, but what do I get? What's in it for me? And this is where we come to the reward of the kingdom. Jesus does not minimize his sacrifice. He doesn't. He affirms it. Jesus lets Peter know what the economy is like in the kingdom of God. And this is the good news, friends. He says, anyone who has given up something, anyone who sacrificed for me or for the gospel, will be given 100 times a return on their sacrifice. Now, I'm not really a financial guru by any stretch of the means. I know there are some in our audience here that know about ROI, return on investment. And, you know, I think I do know that a good investment, you maybe get a 5-7% return, right, David, Josh, something like that. Or maybe a great investment, maybe 10 to 12 to 15 is a great investment. But no one's ever heard of 100%, you know, investment return. ROI 100 would be insane. That would be like, I'll give you all my money right now. Take it. 100%. That would be double. That'd be 2 times. Jesus is saying 100 times. If I did my math right, you can correct me. It's 10,000%. 10,000%. A return on your sacrifice. What a promise. 10,000%. Jesus recognized that Peter has left everything. He doesn't dismiss it. He doesn't minimize it. He affirms it, and he says, here's what's in store for you. 10,000. 10,000%. He overwhelms it with promise. This is not a prosperity gospel message. This is not material wealth. Jesus is talking about something so much bigger. He's talking about his kingdom. He's talking about the kingdom of peace and love and freedom that he wants to give you. He wants you to experience. He wants me to experience. That's what he's talking about. And Jim Elliot knew this so well. Jim Elliot was a missionary. He went to Ecuador, and he went down and was martyred for sharing the gospel to some indigenous people. And this is one of his quotes that is just so amazing, that he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool. You are not a fool to sacrifice for the kingdom, to leave behind things. This is the path of surrender that leads to joy and purpose and family. And it's for this, did you hear that? It's for this age and the age to come. For this age. I kind of thought back when I left some of my worldly desires and ambitions in life. I met Erin, and I was going to be a doctor, and she wasn't that excited that I ended up being in ministry. No, she was. She was excited about that. But I left some of these, just the grandeur of kind of like, I want to make a lot of money. I want to be ambitious. I want to conquer the world. And God called me into ministry, and I saw people in ministry that was hard. I was like, do I want that life? Do I want that? And I would have never imagined that it would have brought me here to Ocean Hills. And I think 10,000%. Like, amazing. The mothers and the fathers and the brothers and the sisters that we have here. This is the family of God that Jesus is talking about. This is one of the rewards of being in the family, is that we have each other. And the promise is also for eternal life. Something we don't talk about a lot because it just seems so abstract and hard to think about. And eternal life, wow, what does that look like? And you heard Cozy say, you know, God took home our dear brother this week, Tom Ochi. He passed away peacefully in his home. Ochi's, our hearts go out to you. And we know, and we hold on to the promise that Tom is experiencing the goodness of God in such a beautiful way right now, that he is in his eternal home. We hold on to that promise together. Tom was a legend of a servant. I've been part of Ocean Hills for 21 years this summer, and I watched Tom be first in, last out for at least 15 years before he got sick. Michael, honoring his dad, serving in the booth today. Thanks, Michael, for being back there. But 10,000% is looking pretty good on Tom right now. Do you trust the promise of Jesus? Do we trust the promise? Lord, I've left everything to follow you. May those words just ring out in your heart this week. I'm going to invite you to a prayer it's a prayer called benevolent detachment. It's kind of a weird word, but it's from just a practice I learned. I'm going to have the band come up. And benevolent detachment is really just releasing everyone and everything in my life to God. Everyone and everything, not with cynicism or resignation, but with kindness and with love. And it's simply this. This is a simple prayer that John has shared with you and got me through a lot of COVID, I feel like, was, Lord, I give you everything and everyone. And so I invite you just to open your hands up on your laps. And just pray this prayer, just over and over in your heart. Lord, I give you everything and everyone. I give you everything and everyone. Take a couple deep breaths, and just as you exhale, God, I give you everything and everyone. What is coming up for you that may be a hindrance, a tangle, a barrier for you to know the kingdom and to know Jesus and to hear his voice more? What might God be putting on your heart as you pray that prayer? Lord, I give you everything and everyone. And if you're like me, maybe there's something that is coming to mind. There's something you need to leave, sacrifice, move past, and you know what that is. And you need that moment today just to say, God, I want to leave that. I do not want to go there again. God, that is hindering me from the kingdom. It's hindering me from you. Help me throw that off today. And just while our eyes are closed, this might be uncomfortable for some of you, but if that's you, sometimes you need a response. Like, just, I'm going to invite you to stand up, and you could just by your response of standing, say, I'm ready to leave this. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a toxic relationship in your life. Maybe it's, maybe it's possessions, materialism. Maybe it's one of those things we talked about. Let me just invite you to stand up and respond in that way. Say, I want to leave. I want to leave this. God, we want to know your kingdom. We want to experience your kingdom here. And so we pray, God, there are things in our lives we need to leave behind so we can experience you more. And I pray for these friends here that have something specific on their mind. I pray you give them the strength, the wisdom, the community to leave and cleave to you. God, that's our goal. So we can cleave to you. And I'm just going to invite everyone to stand up together as we sing this song. Would you stand up? Lord, we give you everything and everyone. God, move us closer to you. Help us to follow you like Peter, just with reckless abandon this week, this day. Help us to continue to know what it is, God, to throw off in our life. Thank you for these words. Thank you for your promise. We thank you for our brother, Tom Ochi, who's celebrating the ultimate life with you right now. Thank you for him. We pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen. Let's sing together. I'm going to invite our prayer team down to pray. If you have something on your heart that you're like, I need to leave this. I want to leave it here. Make this your moment today just to leave it behind. Don't walk out with it. Leave it. Leave it here and share that with someone. So prayer team, come up and let's keep worshiping and finish off this morning.